About this podcast, your hosts, Ed Hammond and Diego Kaminker, talk with global leaders in healthcare informatics about the evolution, current status, and future of healthcare interoperability in their regions and worldwide. This podcast is sponsored by EMEA IASI and HL7 International and is produced by HL7 Argentina. Ed and Diego select 5 questions for their guests and then let them answer freely. The questions are randomly chosen live from a longer list, so they'll be surprised and their guests will be surprised too. About our sponsors. About the Academy. The International Academy of Health Sciences Informatics was established in 2017 under the auspices of EMEA, the International Medical Informatics Association. It promotes the dissemination of informatics-based knowledge and best practices, fosters new ideas, and encourages worldwide collaboration and sharing of expertise and resources. About HL7 International. Founded in 1987, Health Level 7 International is a not-for-profit, ANSI-accredited, standards-developing organization. HL7 is supported by more than 1,600 members from over 50 countries, including 500-plus corporate members. About HL7 Argentina. HL7 Argentina was founded in 1999, making it one of the oldest HL7 affiliates. HL7 Argentina created the HL7 Fire Fundamentals course, which has educated about 7,000 students in HL7 standards worldwide since 2008. A little about your hosts. Diego Kaminker has defined, implemented, and maintained hundreds of healthcare interoperability projects using the major HL7 standards. He's an Academy Fellow and is currently an Affiliate Director on the HL7 International Board. Ed Hammond is Chair Emeritus and Founder of HL7 International, Chair of the Standards Panel of EMEA IASI, and creator of the original HL7 Messaging Standard. For more details, be sure to check out the podcast notes.
Hello and welcome to our episode number 7. We are here with Ed. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning.
We are live from Baltimore. Yes. So again, together. So we will try to enjoy our moments together and doing a lot of episodes. And with us is Fernando Campos from HL7 Argentina. Hello, Fernando.
Hello. Good morning.
Fernando is the chair of HL7 Argentina. He's an information systems engineer with a master's degree in strategic direction of software engineering. He is currently responsible for the definition of software architectures, design patterns, and development standards at the software engineering department in the Hospital Italiano de Buenos Aires, where he has worked for more than 20 years. He's young. He began when he was 5. He has defined, implemented, and maintained healthcare interoperability projects using our standards V2X, CDA Release 2, and FHIR. He's, again, currently the HL7 Argentina chair. He has created and oversees, jointly with myself, the HL7 and FHIR Fundamentals course with over 7,000 students in our standards in the last 10 years. He's certified as a specialist in V2X, CDA, V3 RIM, and FHIR. He's also a member of the HL7 Education Advisory Council, and he was honored with the Ed Hammond HL7 Volunteer of the Year in 2011 for his contribution. He authored 2 books. One is Gestando Software en Salud, Creating Software in Healthcare, and Interoperability in Healthcare Principles and Standards, which are available in Amazon. They're in Spanish. And he's also a professor for the career of biomedical engineering, so young, and in the Master of Health Informatics, teaching software engineering and principles of interoperability and standards. Oh, I'm tired. You're young, but very productive. So the first question we ask to all of our guests is the same. So the first question will be, how did you become involved in healthcare interoperability standards? What was your drive?
Okay. And it was funny because I was finishing my degree career and I was in my last final. And an university colleague told me, okay, there are hiring people we need a new software developer in my company. Do you want to apply? I had my son was just 3 months old, really young, and I had to change my work that had been working for almost 15 years. And I say, okay, I will try. And I went, this company was a Hospital Italiano of Buenos Aires. And when I arrived there, my new boss told me, do you know Power Builder? Because it's a programming language. So I tell him, no, I don't know. Okay, you will learn, he told me. And he told me, okay, you can start next month. And when I start, instead of giving me a Power Builder tutorial, they gave me a big folder with the HL7 V2 standard. They were looking for someone, a developer who take the role of integrate the electronic health record to the other systems, the labs. Diego was leading the labs, imaging diagnostics, and the whole administrative center for the hospital. And that's why I started to use Fire, HL7.
Fire was not even an idea yet.
I'll tell you, you know, with version 2, which was the easiest to really learn, version 2 or Fire?
No, it was Fire. But version 2, it wasn't too difficult for me because, as I said, it was my first work. I put all my energy. It was my first work as a software developer for a full-time company. I used to do some things as a freelance and programming, but it was my first work. So it wasn't easy. And we had a very good group because you cannot do define interface yourself. So I work with Diego, with Alfredo, and there are many people who help me to do this or to learn HL7.
For us, it was like reading the Bible and trying to understand. It was something like came from another place, from above. What they are meaning with this?
Yeah,
it was interpretation. Also,
at that time, there are no Google, and there are no any material in Spanish about HL7.
So, when you were learning Fire, did you learn it over the internet by looking at all the Fire documents? I mean, the problem I have when I start learning Fire is there's so much material there. I never got to what I was looking for, but I've got carried away by looking at other kinds of things as well. So I always say Fire is the most documented system in the standards community. It really is. And
it's more easy to understand.
Yes.
You don't need to, at that time, we have just the folder. There are not
just the book. The book was the only thing you have.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's probably better with the book than it is going to the internet. Because internet, you get to walk around a lot. So.
But there are not. They were not PDF.
Yes.
Just the book.
Yes. Yes.
So we need to join and discuss the book. Fire. You are plenty documented.
Yes. And you have a community. You can always go to the
chat
to Solid and ask someone.
Questions.
At that moment, the only chance we had was to come here and ask you. And that's what we did. Okay, next question. We have to go to our fortune wheel. Let's spin it.
Okay.
And I'm getting him to take us to Vegas, this magic wheel. So.
So the number is 3. Number 3 is, did you evolve in your use of standards, or as we say, we are stuck in the 90s?
I don't know. I have my first interface that I created 20 years ago. It's still working. It's in a.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I know. We can let him answer that question. That good or bad? Yeah.
It's still working, and it's in production. And we have a virtual machine with an old version of Power Visual Basic that's still working. But I think, I took two roles in HL7. The first one was as a developer, as implementer. So I think I have not been stuck because I started to use HL7 V2 to make this interface and to connect the electronic record. We did it with ADT messages and orders and results. But in 2005, 2006, we in our hospital we created our documental repository, and we did it using CDA. So we moved and we created our documentary repository using CDA, and it's still working.
Everything that we did worked forever.
Yeah, well, and again, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So
That's correct.
The document
is working. And when Fires appears, we start using Fire. I started using Fire or outside.
So you're transitioning from CDA? Are you?
No.
Just leaving CDA as it is? Okay.
No, I had just one interface. I'd move from an old version to a new version. Okay. That is the patient administration.
Yeah,
I don't use any more ADT. I just use post a patient.
Is most of the use of standards within a single hospital? Are you doing anything that's moving from hospital, one hospital to another hospital, is it?
V2 meshes just in the hospital.
Okay.
And CDA, we have some other system that we interchange CDA. And another electronic health record or emergency companies, and we interchange CDA, or we send our CDA to the payers or to the patients. Instead of giving them a PDF in the patient portal, we put the PDF, the CDA.
And is your hospital a public hospital or a private?
It's private.
Okay.
It's private. And when Fires appears, also we started using we have some clinical decision support, and as an input, we started using Fire resources. And some small interface, then we help our hospital help our national project. We make an agreement to help them because our hospital is the most advanced hospital in the region using these tools and this knowledge. And we help them in developing and improving the master patient index for the whole country. So, and how tools to create.
And that's Firebase.
Yeah, this is Firebase. Mm-hmm. And IPS also. Mm-hmm. So, as a developer, I move to the.
It sounds like you're keeping up with what new things.
And, I took another role that is an educator. As an educator, when we started to develop, when we started the online courses and we translated to English, and then you have to be updated. You cannot be in the 90s. You need to be in the last, because you have to teach the last version, and new people ask new question, and you need to be updated. So, yes.
But in both words.
Yeah, in both words.
Okay, let's see what is the next question. It's number 8.
8.
Any specific thoughts about the relationship between healthcare interoperability standards and big data? You know, if there are any gaps and how can we move forward?
Big data. I'm no specialist in big data, but I think they are related because one hospital do not make big data. One company do not make big data. You need to a lot of hospital, a lot of company to make real big data. And to do that, you need interoperability. I'm not sure if you need to use Fire, but at least you need to talk the same language to use.
I think we saw an example yesterday with the COVID result, 20 variations of negative, only 3 values, negative, positive, and undetermined, and they were 50 different values for that.
Yes,
in different hospitals. So I think it was your fight for years.
Yeah, it still is. The bad news. So, what do you think Argentina is going in terms of creating big data? I mean, is there discussion of needing to build connecting data among hospitals now? Is that beginning to start up of where you really need to build some data? COVID has certainly been a driver. And to learn more about and understanding COVID requires putting together for multiple sites, and that's what we heard about yesterday.
Yeah.
Is that happening, or you think that's going to happen soon in Argentina?
I don't think it happens soon. We have some advance or some movement forward in, I don't know, 5 years a year, 5 years ago, our country took the decision to move to or to be part of SNOMED. And this maybe is a good movement to make available some services to the, I don't know, our national organization index or national practitioners. But I think
there are also some subsets of SNOMED for the country, like the medication subset, but the uptake is very slow. SNOMED is complex.
Mm-hmm.
It's very complex to get into the people's mind, explaining them. You need to use this and map it to your own terminology.
And map is a bad word, but it's necessary.
If they use their terminology and they have to output the SNOMED.
So let me ask you a question then. Is all the work you're doing in patient care documentation, what exposure do you have to research? How much research is going on in your private hospital, and are the standards used there?
I don't think so. There are too much.
You do a lot of research.
But not as with other hospitals, just our hospital, the result we have our hospital, and we do some project we use a lot of data for artificial intelligence in look for some breast cancer or some skin problems, and in general they try to use in the information they have. But I think we are not doing a big data analysis.
We're extracting information from your own EHR.
Yes, only my EHR.
Okay, let's see the next question then. It's 9. Can you see any way that low and medium income countries can participate in the development and also make better use of healthcare IT standards?
Yeah, I think so.
How?
I came from a very low income country, and I don't know if it's medium, but I think you can help, or we can help. When I started to use HL7B2, I'm not sure, it was so mature, so it was working, just giving some.
Yeah, always say is that we as low, medium income countries, when we arrived to V2, it was like 10 years later than the mainstream countries began to use it, 10 or 15. And when we arrived to CDA, it was like 5 years late, not 10 or 15, but 5. Now in FHIR, we are almost in the same synchrony. We are beginning to use it, but also the main countries are also beginning to use it. So we can talk, and we have not the same problems, but the same problems in the sense that cancer is cancer, and
same data elements.
Primary care is primary care, and the diseases are almost the same. But there are differences, but we can leverage and we can help with our use cases.
So let me ask you both this question, because I've always been concerned about culture, and sometimes when I'm working with other countries, I get pushback a little bit because of culture. And I always say culture and change are related. So culture prevents change in many ways, but culture has got to change itself to do the kind of things that we now are doing. How much within Argentina, it's a big country, how much exchange of what you're doing, knowledge and so forth, is there between other cities in Argentina? Is there much communications and sharing what you all have done and what is ours with the other parts of the country?
Yeah.
Well, we try to be as federal as we are federal. Yeah. Like, we are a federal country. We are not a country that, at least in the papers, we are a federal country. It's a very big, Buenos Aires is like the center of everything and everything happens there. But from the beginning of HSM in Argentina, we tried to be as near the provinces as we could and maybe have one or two events a year in a province, we couldn't do that pandemic, but we tried to do that. And also the fact that we created the learning course in Spanish at the beginning was to cover all the people that couldn't come to Buenos Aires to learn. Because at the beginning, it was a local face-to-face course, but we have people from the provinces asking, okay, can we do that too? Will you come here? Yeah. No, but we prepared this material and you can take it from your province. So it was like the first time we did that was for the people that was not in Buenos Aires.
Yeah.
So the last time I was in Buenos Aires, before COVID, I remember one of the projects that was being discussed is creating a network among all the hospitals in Argentina.
Yeah.
Did COVID stop that in movement, or is that still a plan to get the degree of connectivity, which would really bring what you all are doing with FIRE this, become the most important?
This project is still working, but it's now in a bubble. I don't know how to say it.
It's not working full speed ahead because our government, the part of the government that is taking care of that is headless now.
Okay.
So for 4 or 5 months, but I think it will continue. It survived 2 government changes already. So.
But the biggest implementation in Argentina for that project is in one province, not in Buenos Aires. It's in Neuquén.
Okay.
The best implementation on that guy. It's in.
Yeah, we have several centers that work a lot technically. Mendoza, Buenos Aires, Cordoba, Rosario. There are a lot of other cities other than the main district or the federal district that are forwarding technology. So we are trying to work with them.
So is Diego a superstar in Argentina? He is in the rest of the world.
He rocks.
He rocks. Yeah.
Let's do our last question, my friend.
Well, I think that's important. You've got a person who's extremely well known throughout the world and one of the greatest teachers, and also a very creative mind that I think has influenced me and others.
Yeah, but it's a good way.
Yes, it is.
I was on Saturday, I was in the queue of the New York airport. And immigration, and someone in the queue told me, "You are from HL7, Argentina?"
Out of the blue!
And yes, I told her. And it's okay, someone recognized me because I'm part of HL7 Argentina.
Yes,
so it was a good.
Okay, last question.
Last question.
It's 14. How can global organisms like World Health Organization or Pan American Health Organization help in the adoption of healthcare IT standards? Anything concrete they can do in your mind?
Well, I think so. They are like, we see this kind of organization like, I don't know how you see your big brother. Not the reality,
the actual big brother.
And you expect they take good strategies to achieve the interoperability and to take decisions. I take that for them, they are part of that kind
of. I think they are trying to participate and trying to get together with HSM International and other organizations. I think they are being shy yet. They are not imposing. They can just suggest the member countries to do something. They are not bold in, this is what you need to use. But maybe we are going there to be more precise on this is the way forward instead of, okay, do whatever you want and tell me.
So one of the questions I have, Uruguay is very close.
Uruguay is very close, yes.
Yeah, and they really have some interest, but not.
No, they created their complete infrastructure for shared EHR on CDA.
Yeah.
And they built it during 10 years from 2005, I think, 2007, 2017. And this is what they need. And they are creating new stuff using FHIR, like a pharmacy request, but their infrastructure is based on IHE, V2X, and CDA. And I don't think they will change in the short term. And that's what they selected. And this, our in healthcare, informatics change is very slow, like elephant slow, it takes decades change. Okay. It's not that we from 1 year to the other we change everything we are doing and have a new system or a new exchange system. We are a slow industry, and we have to accept that.
But change is almost every country changes slow, and I mean that. Events can speed it up. COVID has really speeded up change in the U.S. more than
anything. I think it speed up in e-prescription. What was before it was impossible. 3 years ago, if you talk about e-prescription in our country, they say, no, the prescription should be signed by a physician.
Yeah.
It's very dangerous. No one will accept it. And then in 3 months, everyone is doing e-prescription. So it wasn't impossible. So change in some areas should be seen as possible, and we can accelerate, like telemedicine too. Telemedicine was impossible 3 years ago, and now suddenly it happens.
Let me just take another question here, because HL7 now is beginning to be interested in regions. You know, being a global organization, as HL7 is now, one of our biggest problems is time zones. And in my opinion, it's isolating parts of the world. I mean, Asia, for example, you almost can't pick a time for a meeting.
It's very difficult to have everyone at the same time in the same
in terms of regions, and we're talking about the, you know, the Latin America and South America region. What are your thoughts about the value of that? I mean, and what Argentina has been around for a long time. You've done some great stuff, and you've taught. You shared some of that with the rest of the world, so we're learning from what you all are doing. Do you think, thinking of a South America, I mean, there's still countries in South America that are not using standards.
I think we have like 3 or 4 different regions, even in South and Central America.
Yeah.
The South Cone, Argentina, Brazil, Uruguay,
Chile,
Paraguay, that's and Peru, maybe Ecuador, that's one phone. Brazil is a world on its own.
Yes.
Brazil is a different, it's a different continent.
It's a different
language. It's a different language and volume. We are together, we help them, but we are not having the same problems like they have and not the same business understanding or rules. And I think Central America is another region, which is completely different. Icelands and everything is different. So I see three regions in Central and South America.
What about a place like Peru? I mean, I have lots. I have a couple of students that came from Peru.
Yeah.
And knows Fire has written a paper.
Peru is converging to be an affiliate. I think it will. They have contacted us several times, and we have a lot of students from Peru in our courses. Eventually, they will become an affiliate. And
Chile comes and goes.
Chile now has a very good affiliate now, and I think it has a very bright future.
Colombia has just come in.
Mexico has just came in.
Yeah.
So we are missing only Peru, Paraguay, and Bolivia, maybe near us, and maybe have some regional network in the Caribbean and Central America. Okay, guys, we need to go take breakfast.
But thank you very much. We really cheated on your magic spinner and talked about some of the topics, but I think those are important topics. The thing that amazes me is how you communicate so extremely well in English. I don't think you're thinking in terms of Spanish and translating in your mind to English. I think you're thinking in English when you speak. And I've always been impressed. I've tried to learn Spanish in a program called Duolingo. The problem is I don't get to use it enough that I remember it after I quit studying it, and it disappears fairly quickly.
I will talk with you in Spanish.
Well, but you guys speak so rapidly. I said, slow that language down.
Yeah.
Okay, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. See you.